Hello and welcome to Newsmakers. I'm your host, Lisa Pugh. Wisconsin will receive its first payment from its share of a national multi-billion dollar opioid settlement fund beginning in April. Meanwhile, opioid overdose deaths in the state continue to rise. The CDC estimates between 2020 and 2021, our state saw a 13% increase. Earlier this year, the Wisconsin Department of Health Services held some listening sessions to hear from Wisconsinites how those settlement funds should be spent. And joining us to talk about that and the state of the epidemic is Wisconsin's Director of Opioid Initiatives, Paul Krupski. Paul, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Lisa. Happy to be here.
I'd like to start out first by talking a little bit about the data so you can give us a sense for what's happening. We are looking at the rate per 100,000 of opioid-related deaths in Wisconsin and emergency room hospitalizations, the trends from 2007 until 2020. Can you give us a sense for how Wisconsin is trending?
Sure. So, you know, I think Wisconsin in general has really followed the national trend when we look at both overdoses and deaths related to opioid, you know, going back for the 20 plus years. And, you know, I definitely would like to point out the positive in the data. And the positive was that if we look at pre-pandemic, we were beginning to see positive outcomes and positive change here in Wisconsin. We saw our first significant decrease in opioid-related deaths, and we had seen multiple years in decrease in opioid-related hospitalizations. Now, unfortunately, you know, Wisconsin and nationally during the pandemic, we have seen an increase in both overdoses and deaths related to opioids. And so that's a trend, you know, that is national. We did set, unfortunately, an all-time high here in Wisconsin for opioid-related deaths in 2020. Our department is still working on finalizing 2021 numbers, and unfortunately we do expect that to be fairly close, if not set a new all-time high. But the pandemic has just obviously created challenges, not just in the space of substance use and treating those with substance use disorder, but in a lot of areas, right? And unfortunately in this, you know, specific to opioids, those have trended the wrong way. But we're confident that the data pre-pandemic showed that the steps and the actions that we're taking in Wisconsin are creating positive change and are pointing us in the right direction. And if we stay the course, we continue to invest in those strategies, get all of our partners and stakeholders that have understandably so been pulled in a lot of directions during the pandemic back to being more focused on opioids, provide the service, the funding and services that are needed locally, we can get pointed in the right direction again.
So I know that the state does collect more real-time data, maybe less reliable on the website. It includes some ambulance call data county by county and region by region in the state. Is there anything that real-time data is showing us? Are certain parts of the state doing better than others?
So the majority of our data that we collect, unfortunately, does have a decent lag time to it. But as you mentioned, there is some data, specifically ambulance run data, that is more real time. And that has definitely, you know, from the height of the pandemic, that has decreased the number of suspected overdoses that we are seeing statewide. So that is a positive. We're still above those pre-pandemic levels, but they have decreased from the height of the pandemic from what we're seeing. Regionally around Wisconsin, you know, I think the important thing to really stress here is that opioids remain an issue statewide, especially with the emergence of fentanyl into the drug supply. We're now, you know, what we really see the most of when we look at suspected overdoses and deaths is poly substance use. Because of fentanyl's presence, most of these suspected overdoses and deaths are multiple substances, whether that be cocaine and fentanyl, methamphetamine and fentanyl, and then obviously like heroin with fentanyl mix, which is all opioids. But it's really an issue statewide. So yes, we do see more overdoses and deaths in certain regions, southeastern and south central specifically, but there is no area of the state that is not touched by this epidemic. And that's why we need to focus all of our different efforts statewide.
Speaking of new efforts, as mentioned in the opening, Wisconsin is set to start receiving some of that share of the National Settlement Fund, $26 billion available nationally, and Wisconsin receiving about $400 million of that fund, 30% set to go toward state-level efforts, 70% divided among participating local governments. Wisconsin getting that first payment or estimated to be eligible for that payment on April 2nd, and then a second round of payments, Johnson & Johnson, starting July 1st. That payment continuing for 9 years, the other one continuing for 18 years. Can you summarize a little bit about how Wisconsin is receiving these funds?
I'll do my best, because it's definitely, as you point out, still all the details are getting fleshed out. But so we still don't know the exact amount that our state will be receiving. But as you note, those two settlements have been agreed upon with all states nationally. So while we still don't know exactly how much or when we'll be receiving it, we do know that it's going to be a good amount of funding that's going to come into our state to really support or enhance all the efforts that we are already doing. So it's going to be really important as this funding comes into Wisconsin, that at the state level, we will be working with all those different counties and municipalities that will be receiving funds as well, to make sure that we're leveraging all of this funding that is coming into the state, and that we're doing our best to not duplicate any efforts. We want to make sure that we're supporting the counties and the tribes and all of our municipalities with their needs, while matching that with what we see the need to invest in, what we see those gaps that still exist in our state. Again, going back to the data and always using that to make data-driven decisions, to make sure that what we're using the funds to match or to focus on is matching what the counties working in tandem with what the counties intend to do with the funding as well too. So there's going to be a lot of collaboration and coordination that needs to take place moving forward. And we'll definitely, it's our intent to do that with all the different entities who will be receiving funds too, as more information becomes available to us. But it's definitely going to be a great support with these additional funds into the state.
I know that earlier this year, starting in January, you, as part of the Department of Health Services, hosted a series of listening sessions with Wisconsinites to hear their ideas on use of the settlement funds. What were some of the things you heard from Wisconsinites?
Yeah, we did, Lisa, and it was really a great response from the people of Wisconsin. We held 12 listening sessions during the month of January. We had over 500 individuals that actually took part in the listening sessions themselves. And then we had a survey, I guess it would be the right word to use, on the side, that individuals could submit their input and feedback that way if they just felt more comfortable doing it in a written format than joining the listening sessions and sharing it with us that way. And so we received an additional over 325 survey submissions that way as well. So the information and feedback that we received was very beneficial to the department. We've used the last month and a half to really compile all that data and feedback, review it, and identify some themes. And I think the good part, the reaffirming part of those listening sessions for us at the department was that what we're doing already is along the lines of what people want to see, and that is really invest across the continuum of care. So in prevention, harm reduction, treatment, and recovery. And I think some themes that stood out that I can share with you is definitely the need for more prevention efforts, specifically in K-12. Within the schools was something that individuals shared. We heard a lot about something that wasn't that also wasn't surprising was just continuing to expand access to treatment. We've done a really good job with that over the last 5 to 6 years, but nationally there's still just a need for more treatment availability. So continuing to do that. Housing was a very big issue that came up in the listening sessions. And we know that when we talk about social determinants of health, safe and stable housing for anyone who is struggling with substance use is so important. So definitely need to look at more ways that we can impact housing. And then lastly, especially as I've talked about over this pandemic time period, the staggering increase we've seen in overdoses and deaths, we need to continue to put more funding into those harm reduction efforts. So keep getting Narcan and Naloxone into the hands of people that need it. Now that Governor Evers has signed the bill to decriminalize fentanyl test strips, let's figure out ways that we can support providers with fentanyl test strips, get that into the, and specifically get that into the hands of providers who work directly with those that are actively using. Because when we talk about fentanyl test strips, that is the population that needs it the most. So some really good themes, some really good takeaways. Definitely, like I said, supporting a lot, or reaffirming a lot of the work that the department has already been doing in this space, but giving us some ideas of where we need to expand and need to do more.
Were there any differences or unique barriers between urban and rural areas of the state that you heard?
Yeah, I think definitely in the area of treatment. But treatment is really interesting because it's a need everywhere. So, but the difference being is that in our urban areas, there's a lot of providers. There's a lot of treatment there, but it doesn't meet the need, right? The population base is so much larger that even though there's more treatment providers, the availability isn't necessarily there. In our rural areas of the state, it's more about the need for providers, because it just, that's where people are having to drive longer distances to get treatment. Or if they have treatment available, let's say in the community they live in, it might not be the appropriate level of care or treatment that they need. So we need to make sure that all forms of medication-assisted treatment are available in the rural areas, and just find different ways to for individuals to access it. So, you know, the federal, just to give you a quick example, there is recently the federal government kind of relaxed some of the rules and guidelines around mobile medication-assisted treatment. And so that's something we're really looking into, and something that we hope to be able to fund some people to pilot in the coming months, where, again, it just really makes it easier for an individual to access that care that they need.
Can we expect any additional kind of provider access enhancement efforts as part of the use of settlement funds then?
I would definitely think so. You know, like I said, I mean, treatment is needed, again, not specific to Wisconsin, but nationally. So figuring out ways that we can increase the our strategies that we've already invested in for several years, as well as kind of those new innovative things like mobile medication assisted treatment that I mentioned, we'll definitely take a look at that.
As at the time that the settlement funds were approved in Wisconsin by the governor and the legislature, that was back in July, counties were really celebrating the approval of these funds, and in many ways talked about how they had been on the front lines of this battle. I'd like to share a clip with you from Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley at the time in July.
Battling the COVID-19 pandemic and the opioid epidemic has caused a strain on local budgets that cannot be understated. That's why the governor's decision to sign this bill into law was truly the best action for the people of Wisconsin, and it took a lot of leadership. The opioid epidemic left a wave of destruction in communities across the state, and now we're in the best position to quickly get potential future settlement funds and fund critical services that will help save lives and mitigate continued suffering for residents and their loved ones. Addiction is an issue we all should take very seriously. I know I do, because my family suffered from addiction growing up. And this is something that not only I, but we all should look forward to continuing to work on with our county leaders, with our grassroots leaders, and our partners throughout the state of Wisconsin to address this issue.
In April, it will be 9 months from the date of that announcement until when we've heard that the money could start coming from the settlement, at least initially. Counties have been struggling with this epidemic for several years now. Can you talk about how these funds will really help counties and municipalities?
Yeah, I mean, to the point I made earlier, Lisa, there isn't a county or a community in Wisconsin that hasn't been impacted by the opioid epidemic. And that's every state nationally as well. And you know, specifically in the area of treatment, I would say is where, you know, they have been hit the hardest when it comes to budget and finances at that county level. They really are our first our primary responder, first responder to treatment for individuals in their counties that need it. And so this funding, you know, whether it goes to support that or other areas of a county level response to the opioid epidemic, it's going to be a great support from them. And I think where we come in then at the state level is to use these funds similarly like we do with other discretionary grant dollars that we get from the federal government, and that is to turn it around and make it available to all of our partners and stakeholders statewide, which includes our counties and tribes. We want to make sure that, you know, we are supporting them, trying to take hear their needs and you know what we can assist with, and then provide funding to support that. I think one quick example I can share with you is, you know, the department last February launched a residential substance use disorder Medicaid benefit through Medicaid. And while that was much needed and very much appreciated all around the state, it's a federal rule that Medicaid funds cannot go for room and board cost. It can only support the cost of treatment. And so that room and board cost was still left on the county to kind of be picking up, or the individual themselves who's in treatment, which we know is just a real challenge and a real barrier for a lot of folks. And they aren't going to get the treatment if they have to cover that cost themselves. So we want to make sure that we're looking at ways like that we can provide funding to support room and board cost and give that to the counties. And then they can work with the providers in their area to make sure the individuals that need it can get the treatment that they need.
Should we expect these funds to really turn things around in Wisconsin? Are they a magic bullet, or is there more investment that's needed really?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think what we've learned over, really over the last 15 plus years is that there is no silver bullet. I mean, if there is, everybody nationwide would be doing it. And it's really hard to say, all along it's been really hard to say how much money do you need? We don't know. And again, that's nationally. But the one thing that's for sure is that this is going to help, and this is going to make an impact. Any additional funding allows us to invest in areas that we haven't been able to before, or invest in those areas that are making a difference at a higher amount. And like I said, really enhance or expand those strategies that, as I mentioned also previously, pre-pandemic, we're seeing that positive change.
The legislature has been very supportive over the years. Do you anticipate, or would you like them to make additional investments of state tax dollars in recovery?
I think that over several sessions, as you mentioned, they have passed a lot of legislation that's going to address the opioid epidemic. And we saw that just this past session and last week with Governor Evers signing those three bills. And I think it's an area that, if the legislature is willing to continue to support, it's one that we can definitely continue to use that support. And we'd be happy to have those conversations with them and see what the best ways is that using state dollars could support our efforts.
One area that people think that we need to pay more attention to is racial disparities within this epidemic. The Black and Native American communities in Wisconsin really have been disproportionately affected, as you know. We are looking at the rate of overdose deaths, opioid overdose deaths in Wisconsin by race and ethnicity. Some of the discrepancy here is pretty stark. How is Wisconsin addressing this?
Yeah, you're right. You're right on. That's one of those data points that's really clear that both the African American and Native American populations are disproportionately impacted when we look at deaths and overdoses in our state. And it's really important that that we do target specific efforts for those communities and for those populations. And that's a lot of what we do, not just what we are going to start looking at, but what we have been done. We always look at, as I mentioned several times, data-driven decision-making. We want to make sure that we're funding areas and regions that specific populations are in need of certain services, whether that be treatment, whether that be prevention, and make sure that we're providing funding that can get into those areas of the state. What I can say is that we are looking at specifically some prevention programming right now that would make money available specifically to organizations and agencies that are serving African-American or Native American communities, because we think that really that's where there's definitely a huge gap right now in the prevention services that are available in those areas. And we hope to make that funding available to those organizations and agencies in the next couple months.
You talked about the governor signing a series of bills just last week focused on the role of fentanyl in overdose deaths in Wisconsin. What is happening with fentanyl?
Yeah, so I know I mentioned this earlier once, at least two, you know, really for the past 5+ years, fentanyl has been the primary, the driver of overdoses and deaths here in Wisconsin. And again, this is national, not nothing that was specific to Wisconsin, but fentanyl has been the driver in overdoses and deaths really since it entered the mainstream drug supply. As I mentioned before, it's now seen in cocaine, methamphetamine, marijuana, heroin, fake prescription pills. If anybody, you know, I think that's really the important message. If anybody who's using substances needs to know that there's probably fentanyl present in what they're doing. And the potency of fentanyl is what is causing the overdoses and deaths. So the packet, you know, two of the three bills that Governor Evers signed specifically were addressing fentanyl, one being the decriminalizing of fentanyl testing strips. So this is a step that many states have had to take over the last year plus in as fentanyl has entered the drug market, and we've wanted to use fentanyl test strips as a way to help individuals that are using substances identify fentanyl might be there and allow them to then take other steps to prevent an overdose and death. So that bill was really important because now, as I mentioned earlier, we can do that in Wisconsin, and we work with providers to get fentanyl test strips into the hands of people that need it. And then the other one was focused on creating a penalty structure. Really, fentanyl was this isn't really my expertise. I will say this up front, but on the law enforcement side, on the enforcement side, fentanyl the penalties for fentanyl were very minimum, and so this created a new penalty structure to basically match heroin, is my understanding. So it's for an individual who is manufacturing, distributing, or delivering fentanyl, basically creates a penalty structure similar to heroin.
In terms of Wisconsin data on fentanyl use, I know Milwaukee County has said that in 2021, they had 560 people die of overdoses in that year, and 79% of those were either fentanyl or as a combination with fentanyl, I think, which you had mentioned is pretty common. And after the governor signed that bill decriminalizing fentanyl strips, Milwaukee County almost immediately talked about distributing 1,600 fentanyl strips as soon as they can get their hands on them. Will that really make a big difference in a county like Milwaukee?
I mean, I believe so. Like I mentioned before, fentanyl test strips save lives. And if we can get these into the hands of active users, who should be the targeted population for this, it allows them to take additional steps when using. So you can use a fentanyl test strip to determine the presence of fentanyl in injectables, in powders, and in pills. There's, you know, these strips have specific directions on how to test the substance. And then the individual can, like I said, take a number of steps. So that could be making sure that they are not using alone and that they have someone else with them, and that person has Narcan on hand to revive them if there's an overdose. That obviously could be a step of using less of the substance. And ideally, not using the substance at all. And if that's the case, in the end, we're saving somebody's lives, and that gives us the opportunity to get them the treatment and the care that they need. So I think it'll have it has the opportunity to have a great impact, not only in Milwaukee, but around the state. And the other good part is that fentanyl test strips are pretty cheap. They're relatively cheap. So it's not like Narcan where, you know, we have to, you know, work with manufacturers of Narcan to kind of get a more bulk rate of that. Fentanyl test strips are pretty much a buck or two themselves. So we should be able to get a lot out there into the hands of people that need it.
In some of the legislative hearings on these bills, there were parents, mothers of college age kids, young people talking about their young people dying. Is this a concern in terms of the age of people that are being exposed to this?
Well, I think what we're going to see more of is that really age doesn't matter anymore. If you go back into the data, you do see some clear definitions on who was using what, right? So prescription pills versus heroin versus other substances. Now it doesn't really matter anymore because of how fentanyl is just in everything. It's cut into everything. So that's why I go back to what I said before. The important part is that no matter the age, no matter where you are, no matter who you are, we're educating folks and providing them with the information around fentanyl so that they understand that no matter what substance they might be using, fentanyl is likely present and they're taking a chance when using, given the potency. It could very easily cause an overdose or an untimely death.
So you've been in your position since 2017. You were named as director during the Walker administration. Recently in February, Governor Evers announced kind of a relaunch of the Dose of Reality initiative and talked about changing the conversation. Can you talk about why is it important to change the conversation and how have we changed the conversation since you started in your role?
Yeah, so I think specifically when we talk about the dose of reality, we wanted to change the conversation to more about how to have honest talks about the dangers of opioids, the dangers of fentanyl, and then the ways to save lives. The original Dose of Reality campaign, not that there was anything wrong with it, but it just needed to be revamped. A lot has changed with the opioid epidemic since we launched the original Dose of Reality campaign over 5 years ago. And this just really provided us with the opportunity to update that. So the updated Dose of Reality initiative really, number one, it provides information on the risks of opioids, just like the previous campaign did, but it's just all updated information with more that we know now. It provides information around safe storage and disposal of medications, which we know is important to keep out of the hands of people who may misuse them. It offers strategies for people to support individuals who are currently using and understand what the risk is of using substances. And then it provides information around naloxone and specifically Narcan, how to use it, how to access it, where it's available, how to get your hands. And that was not part of the previous campaign, and that's just more important than ever right now. So we really wanted to make that part of the campaign. And then I think lastly, it just really helps people first, it helps people find treatment or recovery support services that are available, but it also lets them know that you can recover from whether it be opioid use disorder or substance use disorder. Recovery is possible, and that care and treatment that you need is available out there in the communities.
So speaking of recovery, we want to show where people can go for additional information. We're showing the Wisconsin Addiction Recovery Helpline, a free statewide resource for finding treatment services, recovery supports available 24/7. What can you say about this resource and where else can people go for help?
Yeah, really appreciate you promoting this, Lisa. It's something that we try and promote and market far and wide. We realized that there was a need for this in Wisconsin several years ago because, again, going back to the listening sessions, there was feedback that we were getting from people all over the state that I'm calling this national hotline, this national helpline, and you know the referral that I'm getting to services is out of state. Or I live in La Crosse and the referral that I'm getting is for down in Madison. And we knew that just wasn't the case. And if people don't know how to, you know, people need local access to services to follow through a lot of times, which is totally understandable. We all live busy lives and we want to be as easy as possible to get the services that we need, whether that be treatment for substance use disorder or shopping at a grocery store. So this addiction recovery helpline that we partnered with 211 on several years ago, It now does just that. If I live in La Crosse and I'm looking for treatment services, I'll get referred to services in La Crosse that are local to me. So it's a really great resource. I want to note that it's for all substances, not just opioids. So people should contact it no matter what substance they might be struggling with. And also not just for the individual who's using. Friends, family members, loved ones, spouses can call this as well and find out what services are in their area that they could try and help the individual that they care about get into. So thank you for promoting it. And it's a really great, really great service statewide.
So as easy as calling 211.
As easy as calling 211 and asking for the Addiction Recovery Helpline. And there you can also access it on the internet. And there's also a text and a chat option as well that you can find on the webpage for the helpline. So a lot of ways to access it.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity, Lisa.
And thank you to the viewers of Newsmakers. Be sure to tune in again as we highlight the issues and sit down with the decision makers who make a difference for all of us.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civics broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.